Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to another exciting episode. Hopefully it's an exciting episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 208. It's going to go out. This is an old callback. Our longtime listeners will remember this person. This one goes out to the Bear Whisperer. Happy birthday to the Bear Whisperer. Sounds like he had a day, a good day being a man and doing manly things with that stupid middle son of his. So hopefully the Bear Whisperer had a good day. I don't know if he listens, but I'm not the person who could tell me if he listens is not allowed to speak yet. So thank you for coming to the show. This is not a show about being a bear or bear related issues. This is the show about gambling on MMA, most more specifically the UFC. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We're in a really dark period of the podcast, I have to say. I'm sorry I have to start things off on a down note, but it's not a very good period in our history. 208 episodes, it's been at least, 2 years or so. I'm sure that person who has not been named yet can tell me when we actually did start this. But yeah, it's been probably a couple of years. But this is a pretty down period because the not aforenamed person, Gumby God Daniel Vreeland, has beaten me 3 weeks in a row with his picks. So it's unprecedented times. The end days are upon us. So get your affairs in order because obviously the end is coming near. We should bring him in, the Grim Reaper himself, Mr. Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, so first of all, you remember that the Bear Whisperer had a name? Did you remember the original name?
It was like Ezekiel, wasn't it?
Ichabod, but with an
Ichabod,
I.
Yes.
Or with an E, Ichabod.
I wonder if Jong would know that. I wonder how deep we should have a trivia show someday with some of our hardcores. see how deep the knowledge goes. But yes, go ahead.
But Ichabod the Bear Whisperer. And I would say not only did I beat you with the recommended plays, which I'm very happy with my recommended plays, but I will also tell you one thing, looking in my little recommended play notebook that I keep right here, that bums me out. Because I actually crossed one out and put the Chidi and Jaquani knockout one instead.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had Rodrigo Nascimento by decision, specifically, at plus 700. And wow. I want to, good news is I wound up playing it myself. So, I feel good about that. And if you were in our Discord, which you can get into at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, you would have seen that I already told people and tempted people to do that as well.
Yep.
However, for you listeners who don't double dip, that's true. But anyway, back to my original point. Not only did I beat you in recommended plays, which I'm pretty pumped about, and it was a pretty savage beating, but I also, just the regular picks, which is your fave, just trounced you.
3 weeks in a row. Back to my original point, rubbing it in that I beat you finally is what Gumby was getting around to. Yes, it was not a good night. Well, I went 8-5, so still I lost $53. So that's pretty much a push in my eyes. But yeah, Gumby went 9-4 and won $225 thanks to a massive underdog. I did not. People are probably thinking, oh, that's because Jeff's always chalky. But no, I had what, five dogs last night, and one of them dropped off the card as predicted, because Aspen Ladd
what a predicted thing that was. Like,
probably couldn't bet on that.
Hey, can we give ourselves both one more win on that? Because we both predicted that fight would not happen.
Yep. Okay, well, what are we doing with Aspen Ladd? Like, it's UFC's fault for letting this continue on and on.
I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to her fight with Kayla Harrison.
He's true. 155 in PFL. Yeah.
Her
fight at featherweight.
Well, I mean, like, you could say make her fight at featherweight. I'll be real honest. The real answer of what to do with Aspen Ladd is get that girl a new coach.
Yeah.
Like, and I get, like, it's her boyfriend, her much, much older boyfriend, which you can do whatever you want with. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like those relationships work sometimes, right? Where the coach and the fighter are significant others, right? Isn't the Shevchenko sister is like that?
Yeah.
Antonina, and it seems to, you know, not completely cripple her game. But like at a certain point when you've missed weight like four or five times and you're constantly needing to pull out and you've had like some very clear like mental lapses in the mid fight, like at a certain point you have to ask, like, am I doing all of the right things? Because if I am doing all the right things and I'm missing weight three or four times and having like huge mental lapses in the cage, then I'm not that good to begin with, right? Like, if she believes a better version of herself is in there, it's time to change something, right?
And for the record, she missed weight at featherweight 6 years ago when she was 21. She weighed in 138 pounds. So featherweight probably may not be the answer either. So yeah, I don't know. But the UFC continuously like booking her at bantamweight bouts and like letting this happen. I guess they don't care as long as she's not headlining. They don't really care if her fights fall off, but I'm sure her opponents have had enough of this.
Yeah. And it sounded like, I saw a post from Sarah McMahon. It sounded like the UFC took care of her, which, I'm guessing it's because, did you know this is actually the second time a fight between those two is canceled?
Yes. Cause maybe we didn't make it to the breaking down phase the first time, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, I think the fact that it had already happened to her, she had to have a feeling that it could possibly happen again. And, you know, like, she's a long time vet for the company. So it's good that the company took care of her. I'm not sure they would do that with everybody in every circumstance.
No,
but, she's probably less pissed now.
Yeah. But she's also old, needs to like get all the fights in that she can, for crying out loud. So anyhow, this isn't an Aspen Ladd podcast. And I don't want it to be either. So, before we break down the event, any words on Jose Aldo? Surprisingly retired today. And it sounds like he actually did retire. He's out of his contract and all that stuff. I think he wants to go to the greener pastures of boxing. Everyone thinks boxing is so wonderful. Any thoughts on that? Or we can,
I mean,
on?
Like, it seemed like he had already told Mirab Dvalishvili that was,
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's true.
Mirab tried to break it. And then Jose's camp kind of pushed back, which I think was his coach just being like, I don't really want him to retire. Because, you know, if you're coaching a legend like Jose Aldo, like, who would want that person to retire? And he's not old. You know, like, I think we keep talking about him as being old. He's got a lot of miles on him, but he ain't old. So, you know, like, it was time, right? Like, if you're going to get controlled by Mirab Dvalishvili and that's as far as you're going to make it in bantamweight, he doesn't have another run in him. So, like, why put yourself through it? So, you know, probably the right decision at the end of the day. Really hard to watch. Really hard for that to have been his last fight. But, you know how MMA is. Nobody goes out on top.
Yep. And it surely would get uglier if he had hung around. So probably a good time to step aside. And no, managers and coaches generally don't want you to retire because they get what, 10% of your purse, 20% of your purse.
It's differently negotiated for everybody.
And he's making good money. So, which means they're making good money. So anyhow, adios, Jose Aldo. Thank you for the wonderful career and the memories. All right. We're going to kick off hopefully a little bit quicker than normal. We tend to have epic episodes when we do recaps, because we like to brag and boast, but I don't have too much to brag about this week. Gumby always finds something to brag about, because that is Gumby for you. He loves attention, right, Gumby?
No, I hate attention. Nope, I think attention's the worst.
It. He loves it. Everyone tweet him and tell him how wonderful he is. All right, WynnBET time. Thinking of joining WynnBET, now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. Plus, the WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Plus, WynnBET has their own same game parlay feature. Just click on the game, or yes, the game. I'm messing up already. That's why I love doing these ad reads. Just click on the game you like, select build your own bet, and start building a monster parlay. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. People that do recorded advertisements are cowards, right, Dan? Do it live.
Yeah, yeah. You always got to do them live, exactly. And you always got to leave it in. Trust the trust the editing guy to not touch it.
Exactly. All right. Let's see if I can get through Elias Sports Bureau without butchering it too much. Football fans, which is probably everyone listening, the NFL regular season is finally here. Actually, we have a lot of people from other countries listening, so perhaps you're not a perhaps you're a FUT ball fan. We're talking about NFL. As week two has kicked off and pretty much finished, and you get ready to place your bets. I guess you can still bet on the Monday night game by the time you get this in your ears. Or if you want to lock in your fantasy team for next week, you need to check out the Elias Game Plan app. It works no matter what day you hear this and what day you sign up. It's going to give you info that you need. It's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, NBA, and MLB that has everything you need to get a competitive advantage. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau, official statisticians of U.S. pro sports leagues, including the NFL. Their app lets you access team and player stats, head-to-head team comparisons, and Elias key insights from their renowned research team. This app really is your one-stop source for player news and league-validated player stats and team records, expert game analysis for betting fantasy lineups each week, and showing off your superior sports knowledge to your friends and coworkers. And new features are available all the time, like player injury analysis and player impact reports, which can be huge when it comes to betting and fantasy tournaments. Elias is the most respected research team in the industry. Quality information is key, so I'm glad they created this app for accurate data and important context. NFL season is here, so don't wait. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. That's E-L-I-A-S. And right now, I have a special offer. When you subscribe, get a 14-day free trial off a monthly subscription plan, but only if you use my personal promo code, SGPN. Find Elias Game Plan app in the App Store or Play Store today and use my promo code SGPN. And finally, Fubo TV. If you watch football, you need a Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone Plus games in 4K at no extra charge. Over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, there's no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you can try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. All right, jump into last night. UFC Fight Night, Sandhagen versus Song from the UFC Apex. Of course, main event, Corey Sandhagen, as we predicted, won the fight. He beat, we had him at minus 182. He beat Song Yadong TKO doctor stoppage after Yadong got the second worst cut of the night on his face at the end of the fourth round. They called the fight. I had it 3-1 Sandhagen at that point. Apparently it was a draw, I think, on the judges' scorecards. I read an article today and I forgot it already. Do you remember
two judges had it 2-2.
Okay, right.
Every judge gave the first to Song. Every judge gave the third and fourth to Sandhagen, but only one judge gave Sandhagen the second, which I thought was weird. I gave Sandhagen the second.
Me too.
But the other two didn't. The other two gave him to Song Yadong, which is, I mean, maybe good that at the end of the day, this winds up with that doctor stoppage. Although I will say, you know, for anybody who had like Sandhagen by decision or like this fight goes the distance, like, that's a really bad beat, right? Because like it seemed like he was going to get there. I, on the other hand, once again, if you were in the Discord, had Sandhagen by KO, which was a very boom. very nice boom, but also like maybe not a deserved boom.
Doesn't matter. You've lost plenty that you deserved, I'm sure, as well.
That's true. Yep. The MMA gods give it, then they take it away. Yes. I'll say this, though, and maybe this is two things. Number one, Song Yadong has come out and said it was a good stoppage. He said he couldn't see for most of the fourth round. They probably
it was where the cut was, is what I was saying in the Discord. It's not that it was Hobokov's was worse, but it was in a better spot.
Better spot. Yeah, 100%. And then so that's the first thing. Second thing, Do you think this does anything for Corey Sandhagen?
Nope. It's a win. Like, he was, what, he lost two straight, even though they were two monsters, but still. It keeps him treading water, keeps him where he is, but it's not like bantamweight is, you know, killer dog eat dog. So
it keeps him fighting,
maybe it's setting him up.
It keeps him fighting somebody like Merab Dvalishvili next.
Yeah, maybe maybe he's like the elite gatekeeper of the division.
I think he
keeps you from the very top, like from the title shot.
I think he could wind up being a champ or fighting for a title again. He's going to have to rattle off a bunch. I just mean, like, yes, this stopped his losing streak, but at no point in time was I like, whoa, Corey Sandhagen. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just kind of like, you know, he was barely edging out a decision or not edging out a decision, depending on what judge you were talking to. And, you know, like, winds up getting the doctor's stoppage, which is good, but he's like fighting a guy way down in the rankings. So yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not sure what Sandhagen takes out of this.
Young up and comer. He pushed him back, which is good. Yeah, this was more, things would have changed if Yadong had won, or Song had Young. I guess Song's his last name, so I should call him Song. So if Song had won the fight, more would have changed. With Sandhagen winning, it's just, you know, status quo. Song gets bumped back down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that too. And I don't know what to give him next, but, like, you know, like I said, somebody like Merab Dvalishvili or, you know, Rob Font or, you know, something in that range.
Yeah, he can be the elite, the guy that you have to test yourself before you actually go to title shot. And maybe if he knocks off enough of those challengers, he'll actually get a legit title shot as well. A co-main event. The only fight that I differed on from Gumby and actually won, I almost lost it. I almost went, 0-5 against Gumby on the night. Hobocop, Gregory Rodriguez, the patron saint of the podcast, or one of the patron saints of the podcast, and the Discord. Dan went against him for some reason. It looked good in the first round. Chidi and Chikwani and Rodriguez. What a battle. Fight of the night. Ended up Rodriguez, despite looking horrendous. My son was horrified when he saw that cut, and I said, that's the winner, with his unibrow that he had. And my son said, if I look like that, I would consider myself the loser, which is pretty true. He won TKO punches, 127 to the second round after getting obliterated in the first round. He survived. What a fight. Don't think it really hurts the stock of either guy. Maybe it hurts Chidi a bit because he is experienced and a bit older as it is. And he kind of, if he won this fight, he probably would have got the rocket strapped to him and shot up quicker. So this is a step back for him, but amazing fight. I love both the guys and can't wait to see both of them fight again.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. The person this hurts is Chidi. It like hurts Chidi more than it helps Gregory Rodriguez.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, he'd have been on a, you know, like an absolute tear to start his UFC career. Yeah, it seemed like he was in line for a Ian Heinisch, Kelvin Gastelum type rank guy next. If he did win that fight, and you know, like, he was so close to finishing it. I'll also say, if he had gotten the TKO doctor stoppage after the end of the first round, that officially would have been the best recommended place we ever had, beating my record.
Oh, yeah.
Two events ago, it would have gotten me up to 90% return on investment. Would have almost straight up doubled my money on the plays. So that's a bummer. But that being said, Rodriguez is just so durable, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's shocking to me at the end of the day that's a man who got knocked out by Jordan Williams.
Jordan Williams again.
I mean, he's got to come up once a podcast.
Jordan Wright has the fight booked as well.
Yeah, I saw that. Trust me, I saw that.
Yeah, you'd think Rodriguez won't be able to fight for a while with that nasty wound. So that's one downfall.
And his wife is also 8 months pregnant. So I think he was already planning on taking off time, which I don't know if you caught that in the, because you don't usually watch the post-fight.
I was rushing through last night.
Yeah, but in the post-fight interviews, he talked about his wife's 8 months pregnant. He's about to have his, I believe, his first child.
Hobo Cop Jr.
Yeah, little mini hobo.
Lil Hobo.
Lil
the littlest hobo. Canadians will know that reference, the littlest hobo. That's what I'm going to call this episode. Canadians will know. Go ahead.
I don't know that one. But like, yeah, like, so he's probably already set to take some time off. So like, good for him. And that's probably a reason. By the way, I saw it post stitches. He looks great.
Oh yes. He looks like Obama again.
Yeah.
The Brazilian Obama.
The UFC has got to have some of like the best plastic surgeons and like stitch guys in the world. And they should, right? They should, because like these guys come out of these fights and get stitches, and like when Overeem's lip was obliterated from Rozenstruik, like you didn't even see it in a day. So like, yeah, it looked good for Rodriguez at the end of the day.
And Dan's got before and after pictures on his phone of all these wounds too. So
only because I sent them to my brother.
No, sure. Okay. Featherweights. Andre Tachifili got a split decision. Well, we had a lot of interesting decisions last night. I think the right person won every fight.
This was one of the worst split decisions. Like, yes. Who is giving Bill Algeo that third round?
Was it Adelaide Bird or not? I can't remember. Adelaide Bird had one of the ones. And I was like, oh, Adelaide Bird, she's going to be on my side. It was one of the ones where I wasn't.
Your boy Chris Lee. Chris Lee had it.
I did have a friend named Chris Lee in high school, for real. But anyhow, different Chris Lee. Split decision, touchy-feely, 28-29, 29-28. Fantastic fight. Would have been fight of the night, probably, until the fight that preceded it happened, or the fight that not preceded it. What do you say when it comes after, Dan? Preceded?
Post-seeded it.
I slept 3 hours last night, so this is going to be a fun podcast. Post-seeded it. It took it over, but yeah, great fight. Feely looked great on the feet. Algeo did Bill Algeo things, you know, spinning and super durable, and just he's a janky, weird fighter, which has got to be very hard to fight.
Yeah, somebody also told me once upon a time that Bill Algeo definitely had the wrestling defense to stuff Andre Feely.
He didn't look that bad. I said to survive. I don't think I said stuff, but anyhow.
I think you also said he could grab a guillotine on the way in too.
Sure.
And, yeah, he didn't look like
he could have.
He had no answers for that late grappling, which I think was really, really telling there, because Feely, you're right, was winning on the feet anyway, but then just to ice it, he did the smart thing, and it was a nice veteran win for Andre Feely.
Yeah, I don't think you want to hang out on the feet too long with Algeo anyhow, even if you are winning.
He's a wild man.
Exactly. He's a wild man. All right. No House Advantage is not wild. New sponsor of ours. No House Advantage is changing the game. Actually, it is wild what they're offering. Listen to this. So changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick 'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning $250,000 or more in cash. How does that sound? Sounds good. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money, capital letters, every day. You can also test your skills versus the house in 20 times your entry and win 20 times your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up today with promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. PromoGuide.us is the best place to go if you're interested in plus EV betting strategies and making consistent profits from sports betting. They've got daily updates on odds boosts and huge cash bonuses from all the major sports books. Their bet tracker shows an average ROI of 25%. It's even better than Gumby and I. And they've got a VIP Discord group that puts even deeper plus EV analytics right at your fingertips. I got to say, we've been looking at their daily promo updates, and they are some of the most informative in the game. They don't simply tell you what team is probable to win, but where you'll get the best odds and how to track down and cash in big on constantly changing promotions. If you're not already using mathematical models to help you with your picks, you are missing out on an insanely valuable tool. And the best part of all is that Promo Guy is run by a small team of passionate sports fans dedicated to building a well-informed, better betting community. Go to promoguy.us and check out their 100% tracked, transparent, and proven method for betting smarter. Once again, with promoguy.us, you get consistency, and consistency gives you profit. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. The SGPN gang use it for theirs. It's a game changing product like anything else in the industry. And now you can win on Sleeper by playing the new over-under game. They've got over-unders integrated right into fantasy, the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. Not only can you enter contests via over-under itself, but you can also do so through your fantasy league matchup screen. For example, Patrick Mahomes is your starting fantasy quarterback, like Gumby's. And not only do you think you're going to win your fantasy matchup this week, but you're also confident that Mahomes is going to hit his over 250-yard passing yards line. There we go. 250-yard passing yards line. I messed it up again. And one more time, you think Mahomes is going to hit his over 250 passing yards line. How did Mahomes do today, Dan? Did he win your fantasy matchup, and did he go over 250?
So he didn't play today. He played last Thursday.
Those Thursday games.
Yeah, and he did not do well for me.
Oh, no.
Little bit below his projected number, and that's putting me in a bad spot because I also had James Conner go down with a freaking injury today. So I've been minus some players that I needed.
Damn you, football gods. Well, the MMA gods giveth, the football gods taketh away from Gumby's pocketbook. If you pick correctly on that Mahomes thing or anything else, you can win anywhere from 2 times over 20 times the money you put in on Sleeper. The main reason I'm excited about Roto-Runner and Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Not only do they have NFL, but they also have college football player props. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play the new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money on your mobile phone. Join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Promo code SGP. Again, go to sleeper.com/SGP and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. Now, back to the recap that we plan on doing fast, but we have to spend some time on Joseph Pfeiffer. Be like Joseph, be like Joe. He TKO'd Alan Amadovsky. I guess we don't really have to put a lot of time on this.
No, because he beat Alan Amadovsky. Yeah.
Yep. Like, 355 into the first round, minus 400, did what we expected. Jong and the crew were upset that the girlfriend was not shown this week, but I'm sure if she's still around, you'll see more of her. So,
yeah, pardon me. I've never seen a picture of this woman.
No, I don't know if there's a picture online. I'm sure Jong will know. So anyhow, Pfeiffer got himself a bonus and did what he was supposed to do. He got rid of a can. This is the first guy we're going to fire this week. Amadovsky's out, right?
1,000%. Yeah, right. Just fire Amadovsky. So, I mean, that's 4 straight losses and 3 by first round finish.
Oh, and 4 in the
UFC. And by the way, the one fighter who he took to decision was Christoph Jocko, which might be like one of the better fighters he bought, which is kind of wild in retrospect.
Yeah. Anyhow, Pfeiffer, don't rush him. Just, you don't have to feed him a can, but you can feed him, maybe someone with one UFC win next. So, heavyweights, Rodrigo Nascimento beat my Canadian boy, Tanner Boser. Another split decision for some reason, 30-27, 28-29, 29-28. The right person won, but another wacky decision. So Gumby got this one right again. Gumby got the Feely one right. I had Algio. He had Pfeiffer right. He had Nascimento right. Plus 162. This is Gumby's big hit of the week.
Yeah, it was even bigger if you count the decision prop. And I will say to your split decisions point, like we usually talk about, using MMA decisions to kind of like weigh the decision and stuff like that. First of all, nobody on MMA decisions had Algio, literally nobody. Yep. And then in the Nascimento Boser one, I think I saw one person had Boser and that was it.
Probably a Canadian.
I think it was MMA Mania who keeps having like weirdly bad scorecards too sometimes. So
looking for a job at Sherdog perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. That's probably where Sherdog hunts for their guys. But even Sherdog got them all right. I don't know. Tanner Boser.
Disappointing.
I'll say this. Because he's kind of one of those guys who you might want to think about firing too. He's now only 1 win in his last 4 fights. Now,
and he had that big hissy fit a few years ago about money too. So right. I'm sure UFC does not forget things like that.
Yeah, but there's a loss to Ilir Latifi and Andre Arlovsky in there. So those aren't the worst losses.
They're not the best losses either. If like he came in looking like a legit prospect, but he
here's
be
a question.
To guys like that.
Here's a question I have for you though. Is that like he looked pretty cut on the scales?
Yeah.
He only weighed I think 227. I saw.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, is this like? We're going to give him one more shot at 205.
Who knows? Yeah. This is what a friend E. Spencer Kite wrote today, like asking what the plan was here with Boser. Like why come in so much lighter than your opponent?
If you think you're faster, I think that's the only excuse, right? Or
you'd have been faster anyhow, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. But like if you're trying to play up that speed advantage, that's one reason. The other reason is you think you can make 205 one time and like you're already working on it.
Maybe that's where he's headed. So we'll see. Hopefully he can stick around at least another fight. And then in the opener of the main card, Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, as he mentioned in the telecast, looking less fluffy these days. He got himself a little cut as well. Beat Marc-Andre Barrio, another Canadian, back-to-back losses for the Canadians. Ultra tough Marc-Andre Barrio, technical submission. not the first and not the only person to get choked unconscious this evening. Arm triangle choke, 153 into the third round. Not a fluke. Hernandez dominated that fight. But if power bar wasn't so durable, he would have had his lights shut out far earlier than he did.
Yeah, and I'm not all that far away from letting power bar go too.
He's loading up the losses now. Yep.
Yeah, and like his only real great performance, granted he did beat Dulcilugi Ambula, but it wasn't a real pretty win there. And he was getting the crap beat out of him by Abu Aziatar before he wound up like, you know, just outlasting him. And then he beat Jordan Wright, because of course we got to mention Jordan Wright. So
yep,
he's probably gonna get one more, but I think it's going to be bad. Hernandez, meanwhile, continues to blow me away with his submission skills. I had him as one of my recommended plays. Glad I did. I can't believe that was -163. That's a steal.
It sure was. So main card, Gumby 5-1 with a massive underdog. Jeff, that would be me, 4-2 without a massive underdog. Prelims, Damon the Leech Jackson. I said how difficult it was to pick against him. Well, we both kind of agreed on that. We shouldn't have picked against him. Fighting in the memory of his brother who had just passed away, TKO punches Pat Sabatini. He rocked him immediately and finished him off 109 into the first round. Got himself a bonus. An emotional night for him and his family. And we got to start thinking hard about picking against this man ever again.
Can I just say this was one of the wildest set of fight cards in terms of post-fight interviews and talking about emotions. Because like I said, we got Gregory Rodriguez bleeding from his head, talking about his daughter about to be born in a month. We had Andre Feely, who dedicated his victory to him and his wife lost a child recently. Right before, like, you know, like she hadn't given birth yet, but she had a miscarriage, I believe. And like, so he dedicated the fight to whatever that child would have been. And like, he said that he loved him, and like that, he was like tearing up and crying.
And then, sorry to interrupt, but then they cut to Joe Rogan smiling and waving in the crowd, which was, didn't really fit the moment, but anyhow, yes.
Very, very weird. And then we get the Damon Jackson thing, and then Loma Luke Bume too, which I feel like got under noticed, yeah. Which we'll talk about her in a second. She talked about like having like suicidal thoughts following a recent loss and how this fight meant so much to her. So like really heavy stuff here with Damon Jackson probably like leading the charge in the heaviest of those things. But to your point about his fighting style, looked amazing. We were worried that Sabatini didn't have the wrestling in his back pocket, but we thought the striking would be enough, and it just wasn't. Jackson looked great.
Yep. He rocked him so early. It wasn't really Sabatini didn't get a chance to do anything basically. So who knows what he had in his pocket there, but yeah. So we whiffed on that one. And like I said, Damon Jackson may have to be a automatic pick going forward. Depending on who they match him up with, obviously. Next fight. Oh, I got this one right. Did I not?
Yeah, yes. You got it right and I got it wrong. This is this is weird that you said you only had one. There was two.
Oh boy, look at me. I feel so much better about myself now. Trevin Giles. Oh, what an amazing fight this was. Adam at -200 over Lewis Koske. Koske is getting cut after this fight, that's for sure. He's 0-2. Horrible fight. 32-7, 29-28, 29-28. Koske didn't try until, the last half minute or so?
Yeah, fight. I would say if he gets cut, that's the reason why. Wouldn't be shocked if he gets another one. The UFC does like to give people three now before they cut him. He's definitely like bait for like whoever their new favorite welterweight is off the Contender Series this year.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I should just go look at like what welterweight won on Contender Series and looks nasty, and like that's Koske's next matchup. But like you know, like he had 2 years off, so they might give him one more shot. But yeah, he really looked rusty in there. I'm gonna blame Ring Rust here for how bad he looked.
Just a horrific fight. Not fun. And then the aforementioned Luma Look Boon Me. This was a very good fight. Versus Denise Gomes. Gomes looked very good for her debut on short notice. But Look Boon Me, apparently she's a wrestler now too, and a grappler, not just a Thai kickboxer. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28, a bloody affair. Good fight. Both women looked good at parts, but Look Boomy pretty much had most of it under control. I guess she was in trouble a bit on the ground.
Yeah, she, to your point about her wrestling, though, she's always kind of had really good trips, and it seems like she added a little bit more to it. And the part about her having a little bit of trouble on the ground, I'm just going to keep pointing to the fact that, like, Bulma really needs to be an atomweight. Like, yep. Like she would be such an amazing atomweight, because, like, yep. The only times I feel like she's not doing well is when she's being out-muscled. And she was – it happened a couple of times here. So, yeah, add atomweight. Let Loma get to where she needs to be.
Please. Add it, please, already, for crying out loud. All right, I'm going to tell you guys a couple other things you need to add to your repertoire, and then we will finish off this podcast. Run Your Pool, introducing RYP VIP, a brand new subscription service from Run Your Pool. It helps you get an extra edge against the books, plus exclusive access to real money pools. Entry to our exclusive week one and two pools with guaranteed $5,000 payouts, as well as our season-long pool with a guaranteed $100,000 payout. Talk big bucks this week. Get access to exclusive data to help with your weekly game picks. Premium content like in-depth guides for how to dominate your pools and exclusive swag. We all love swag. The top line here is that if you're a serious sports fan, you need to use promo code SGP and VIP at runyourpool.com/VIP and get 50% off of your first month at Run Your Pool VIP. That's code SGP and VIP at runyourpool.com/VIP. Finally, Odds Trader. Last but not least, Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all major sportsbooks. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sportsbooks to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker, so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. Odds Trader, the number one site for all your game day plays. All right, wrapping this one up, Trey Ogden. Oh, this was another horrible, horrible fight. Unanimous decision, 13-7, 13-27, 29-28. I don't really get the 29-28 score here over Daniel Zellhuber. Zellhuber looked horrendous, did not do anything. He was a very big favorite that we both had, and he looked horrible in his first pro loss.
Yeah, it was scared octagon jitters. Nothing more than so? That. Yeah, okay. Zellhuber, I think, is better. At the end of the day, and I think we're going to look back at this one, watch his second and third fights in the UFC, and be like, ah, he just, like, was not ready for the bright lights. And now that he's done it once, I think he'll be fine.
Next, the Canadian did win, and of course, it's one that I didn't pick. I'm fine that she won, though, because it was Jillian Robertson that won. Briet Maria Agapova, who Dan gave us the inside scoop on her knee injury. She actually, I think Robertson admitted she had her knocked out in the first round when she was nailing her with elbows when Robertson was trying to take her down. Robertson ended up submitting her as expected. I was hoping that striking and the grappling defense would be enough to keep the striking fair for Agapova, but it was not. So it was technical submission. She knocked, Agapova needs money, so she was not going to tap out. So she it was a nasty, nasty submission. Yes. Have you ever choked someone like that, Dan? Do you do chokes?
I've actually only put two people out in my whole life. It was in the gym. One of them being somebody who was getting ready for a fight and, like, badly wanted to work on some things and didn't realize they were really deep in a triangle choke. And the other one, a former professional MMA fighter with a pretty impressive record who just maybe had a little bit too much of an ego and wouldn't tap. And I didn't even realize I put him out, which is the weirdest thing. So I've only actually
got an ego.
Yeah, I've actually only put you. It's not me. I didn't want.
It's not me.
I've been training for 11 years. I've never hurt a training partner, and I've only put two guys out. I'd say I'm pretty safe, dude.
Yes.
With that being said, let's talk about Jillian Robertson and Agapova again.
She did not look good, by the way, Jillian Robertson. This did nothing for her in my eyes.
I agree with you. I was just about to say that.
Okay, sorry.
A lot of times when I fuck up a fight and I picked an underdog, I say to you, I'm like, I like that pick though, because, like, at the end of the day, she was probably the better fighter. At the end of the day, like, it was closer than the odds suggested. I would say that for you here. And I don't need to defend your picks. You can always
moral victory.
But, like, you know, and there are, you usually are the person who are like, there are no moral victories. Agapova feels like the right side in this one, especially knowing that, like, she had a TKO in the first, and you said, she's going to defend enough of the grappling early on, and she's a way better striker. That's literally what she did, and she probably should have won if the ref, like, had caught the fact that Robertson said she was out. And then just, like, enough of that survival, like, allowed Robertson to get into her realm. And cashed a +250 recommended play for me. So much appreciated there for Jillian Robertson.
She's not progressing though, skill wise, it seems.
I would just say like it seems like, man, it seems like her wrestling should be better than it is.
Yes.
Don't you think
if you're going to be a grappler and all you're going to totally rely on submissions and grappling, then yeah, you got to be better at taking down people.
I just don't understand, because like she works with Dean Thomas and Jose Shorty Torres and like some really great trainers, right? And I just feel like, not that she's not making any progress, but like the progress with the wrestling is just so slow that it's either just like not intuitive or she's not putting enough emphasis on it. It's just like, that is something that needs to progress way more for her before we can call her any kind of legitimate top 15 threat.
Yep, even in the shallow division like women's flyweight. Bantamweight, this guy, I may be the most impressed of everyone on the card, was I was most impressed by Javid Basharat, beating a very, very tough Tony Gravely. We said this was going to be a tough matchup. 29-28. Didn't Basharat win every round? I think he may have. He dominated the fight regardless. Looked amazing on the ground, on the feet. And we had him at a very nice -150.
Yeah, it was my biggest recommended play of the night. -150. I had 45 of my 100 bucks on it. This was a dumb line. I think Tony Gravely's a guy who had trouble with wrestlers, and Javid Basharat both controlled distance and mixed a little of it in. You gotta love it.
He's so good. He's so fun to watch too.
And his brother both have like, and I've said I don't think Fareed is as good as Javid, but like both of them have. Somehow, like, as grapplers are, like, also some of the most exciting people to watch. Because, like, you know, they do have good striking, too. But, like, their style of grappling is just so, like, high pace that it's, like, very fun to watch. Even for, like, somebody who doesn't know a ton about grappling.
Yeah, a podcast favorite. I'm going to say it now. Javid Basharat. So, we hit that one. Very nice play. And the opener. I'm glad I didn't go with my gut and take Cameron Van Camp, because, boy, he did not look good. And this was very predictable. The announcers were saying, even the very wise Daniel Cormier saw this coming. Van Camp kept his chin up too long, and Moda was basically measuring him and was getting him on the chin, but wasn't getting him full. It was just a matter of time before he was going to get him full. And he knocked him out 3:49 in the first round. Then he begged for a bonus, which he did not get.
Yeah, I believe the word I used to describe Van Camp when we were breaking down this fight on Thursday was hittable.
He sure was. And
my goodness, is he hittable.
Yep. Hittable in the wrong spot, too. His chin is hittable. Yeah. The knockout spot.
Yeah, so, he's probably another one. It's just time to cut. And I know it's only been two fights, but like if Luis Kosuke doesn't get another shot, neither does he. He's obviously in a much worse position.
Yep. So anyhow, good that Mota got himself a win after getting thrown into the deep end against Jim Miller to make his debut. So, all right. So that was the wrap up of the night. We ended up with 13 fights, because we told you about the fight that predictably fell through. Rodriguez and Jacquani fight of the night, Pfeiffer, Jackson performance of the night, bonuses for them. As I said off the top, I was at 8-5, lost 53-58. Gumby was 9-4, won 224.94. He actually won money. He beat me every other week, but we both just lost money those weeks. So he actually is digging himself out of the hole. On the year, 66% hit rate for me, 58% for Dan. I'm up $880. He's down $2,570. So
he can
keep bragging, but them's the facts at this point. Recommended plays, which Dan has been banging on about all the whole episode, basically. He went 3-1, if you haven't heard already. Basharat, Hernandez, Jillian Robertson via sub. He missed on Chitty via knockout, which was very close to hitting. So 3-1, won him 66-47. I went 2-1, but I missed. I had Pfeiffer, I had Basharat, but then I also had Zellhuber, and I lost $40 on that one. I probably should have swapped that with Basharat, because Basharat line was better, but hindsight. So I was down almost $17. So on the year, I'm 62%. Dan's at 50. I'm up $89. Dan's down 44. So he can talk all he wants, but
I'm coming.
It's
though.
Not just a, it's coming.
I'm coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It's not coming this week though, because there's no UFC coming up. Maybe we'll talk about our plans next episode because it seems to be our
I mean, I can give you some of what we're going to do for plans anyway. Right,
if you want, I'm just saying contender series episodes seem to be a little shorter than other ones, but go ahead if you have an idea.
Oh yeah, no, I've been keeping an eye out for what's coming up because what's next weekend? The 24th is the actual weekend.
We got Bellator.
You got a Bellator event? Yeah. And you know how very much I love Bellator. There's also
it's a really good one too. Romero versus Manhoof is on it.
Yeah. Oh man, why is
Henderson versus Benson Henderson versus Quealy is the main event. So yeah.
Oh,
it's not
Peter Quealy.
Yeah, yeah. It's in Dublin, so it's gonna be Irish.
There's also a one that's gonna kick off.
The biggest promotion.
Yeah, that's actually in the middle of next week. As is there's a Ryzen, although that Ryzen's got kind of weird kickboxing fights on it and stuff like
usually
that.
Usually does.
And at some point in time, we will break down the Invicta that will show up.
Right.
That's actually Wednesday of next week, so maybe that'll be one of our Sunday episodes. Yeah. And that one's got a fun Adam Waite title fight.
There we go, Adam Waite.
Three women who were on last seasons of the Ultimate Fighter, which is exciting as well.
I think there's a Cage Warriors coming up too. Is it a good one?
I think this week I almost forgot about. Is that the one in California?
Not sure. I haven't looked up. I just saw it on the Tapology schedule.
I want to say
we'll have stuff.
I want to say it's in California, which is a really weird place to have a. Yeah, it is. It's the one in California with Eric Sanchez on it. So yeah, we'll give you stuff.
Oh, but the good thing is we can find out how much Cage Warriors pays people because California releases that stuff. So you can check that out on my MMA site, moneymma.substack.com. That's a positive, unless it's like on a, where is it in California? Do you know? Is it like at a casino, like a native tribal land place? Because in that case, maybe I won't get info.
I don't think so. I think they usually do theirs in San Diego when they do come to California.
Don't blame them going to San Diego. Anyhow, so. We'll have plenty to stuff in your ears over the next few episodes, but the next episode is locked in and loaded. It's our famous Dana White Contender Series episode coming up next. And Gumby is coming off a hot week. How hot? If you haven't heard yet, you'll have to listen to that next episode. We'll tell you how hot. Hotter than his dreamy eyes. I'll tell you that much. So that'll be in your ears. Probably by the time you're done listening to this, if you check the feed, you'll see we're there again. So if you haven't subscribed to our feed, please make sure you do that. MMA Gambling Podcast. It helps our numbers and helps get the word out to more people. We'll get recommended to more listeners and we'll keep growing. This snowball will keep getting larger and larger down the hill. Dan told you about the Discord. Twitter's SBGNMMA. Gumby runs that. He also has a personal account, Gumby Vreeland. Mine is Jeff Fox Writer. Told you about my site. Obviously, sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to go for all your stuff. All your podcasts, all your articles, all that jazz. Gumby, one of these days he'll have a Contender Series article written and ready to go. I'm sure. I'm just sure of it. Before Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's all ready to go.
Is it? Okay. Sure didn't look that way a few minutes ago, Dan, but okay. If you said so. All right. We'll get out of your ears and back into your ears in a moment. Thank you for listening. Until we meet again, I will remain be like Jeff Fox. He will remain Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you in a couple minutes. Bye.